Our scripture reading tonight is from John 21, verses 15 through 25. When he had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?
Yes, Lord, he said.
You know that I love you. Jesus said, feed my lambs. Again, Jesus said, Simon, son of John, do you love me?
He answered, yes, Lord,
you know that I love you.
Jesus said, take care of my sheep.
The third time he said to him, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, do you love me?
He said, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you.
Jesus said, feed my sheep. Very truly I tell you, when you were young, you dressed yourself and went where you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go.
Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God.
Then he said to him, follow me. Peter turned and saw that the disciple whom Jesus loved was following them. This was the one who had leaned back against Jesus at the supper and had said, Lord, who is going to betray you?
When Peter saw him, he asked, Lord, what about him?
Jesus answered, if I want him to remain alive until I return, what is that to you?
You must follow me.
Because of this, the rumor spread among the believers that this disciple would not die. But Jesus did not say that he would not die. He only said, if I want him to remain alive until I return, what is that to you?
This is the disciple who testified to these things and who wrote them down. We know that his testimony is true.
Jesus did many other things as well. If every one of them was written down, I suppose that even the whole world would not have room for the books that would be written. This is the word of our Lord.
Let's pray. Oh Lord, we ask that you would be with us in a very special way as we share your word together. One more time, God, we need you to fill up our words with your word, that we might hear your voice, that we might see your glory, that we might be transformed by your love and your grace. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. This is one of my favorite Easter time scriptures. If you're not familiar with the beginning of this chapter of John 21, Peter says to Thomas and Nathaniel and James and John and a couple other guys that he's going to go back fishing. Now, we know that Jesus appeared to them on Easter morning, the day of the resurrection, and appeared one week later with Thomas. And now here they are sort of at loose ends, and so they're going fishing. And as they come back from a night of not being able to catch any fish, they see someone standing on the shore who asks them if they have any fish, and they say no, they've been fishing all night. And he tells them to put the fish over the net over the side of the boat, and they bring in this huge catch of fish, reminiscent of the catch that Jesus, the miraculous catch that Jesus gave them earlier, reminding them, I'm sure, of his invitation to them when he first called them to become not just fishers of fish, but fishers of people, fishers of men. And they realize who it is. John, the beloved disciple, says, it's the Lord. And Peter is too excited to wait for the boat to kind of make its way through the shallow water. So probably 100 yards out, he jumps into the boat and goes flying out to see Jesus. And they bring in the fish, and Jesus serves them breakfast, if you will, of the fish, and breaks the bread. And they have this reunion time with the one that they love, who's now risen from the dead. And then after that meal, Jesus takes Peter aside. And I love this because we see in this God's desire to restore us. This is not the first time, like we said, this is the third time that Jesus appeared to his disciples. So it's the third time Peter's seen him. So Peter's already seen him resurrected. He already knows that Jesus isn't mad at him about the denial. But Jesus doesn't just let it go. He takes this walk with Simon Peter and he asks him this question. He says, Simon Peter, do you love me more than all of these? And in this conversation, in these questions, I love it that we see the gospel in full effect. Because here's Peter, and we're reminded of his boast at the Last Supper when Jesus says they're going to deny him, and Peter says, not me. He says, even if all these others fall away, I won't. And so when Jesus asks him, Peter, do you love me more than all of these? I'm sure Peter remembered his words. Jesus asks him a third time, do you love me? A second time, and then a third time, do you love me? And again, we know three denials. I have to believe that was on Peter's mind. The three times he said, I'm telling you, I don't even know that man. Peter's betrayal, his denial is right before him. Aware of his own brokenness, aware of his own fallenness, aware that he is not the man that he wants to be. And yet he is fully loved and accepted by Jesus Christ. It's a humbling moment for Peter. And yet it's a beautiful one, and it's a gospel one. Because Peter sees in that moment that no matter how hard he tries, no matter how passionately he wants to follow Jesus, he cannot do it on his own. And so he stands in the place that every one of us stands, and that's desperately in need of the grace of God. Desperately in need of that blood of Jesus poured out for us to wash away our sin. So somehow, fully aware of his own brokenness and fully aware of Jesus' tender love for him, Peter's not only forgiven, but he's restored. He gets a chance to say an I love you back for every denial. He gets to, if you will, cover every denial with love. And I'm reminded it's the same man, Peter, while writing his epistles, says this. He says, love one another deeply. Why? Because love covers a multitude of sin. And Jesus' love has absolutely covered a multitude of sin. And we see it here cover Peter. And so it's this reminder, because it's not new, we know this, but it's this reminder we desperately need that what Jesus is calling us to is a love relationship with him. And we need to be reminded of that because I don't know what it is about us, but we take something amazing like grace. We take something like God inviting us to be washed clean, to come into his presence, to have this eternal relationship with him. And somehow we twist it into an obligation and a duty. And sometimes we even make it dull. It's stuff we have to do. And we're reminded that what Jesus is looking for is for us to be in relationship with him. As important and as wonderful as theology is, our struggle to study and understand who God is, it cannot just be a thought in our head. It cannot be just something that we think. Our mind needs to be involved. We need to think. God created us to think, and yet somehow it has to press down into our hearts, into our lives, until we realize what God pursued us for was to be in relationship with him. Jesus reaches out to Peter with love, and then Peter is able to reach back. We see also how much like us Peter is, because right after he has this moment with Jesus, right? Jesus has told him, look, this is what's happening. Right now you're free to move around as you want, but the day's coming when you will not be. And he's foretelling Peter's death, which tradition tells us was crucifixion. He tells him that, and he says, follow me. So we know Jesus doesn't mean just come back to camp with me or just follow me for a little while. He's inviting Peter to follow him throughout the course of his human life, which is going to end in an opportunity to die for his faith in Jesus, for his relationship with Jesus. He's inviting him to follow him all the way into eternity. And the first thing Peter does is he turns around and he sees John hanging around. Because John seems to always want to be where Jesus is, and we could probably learn a lot of stuff from John. And so immediately he says, well, what about him? And again, this reminder that we need to stop looking at other people. You know, we get crazy. We get envious of other people's gifts and other people's ministries. And we want to compare our Christian walk to theirs. And while there's nothing wrong with having kind of heroes in the faith, people who inspire you to follow Jesus more closely, teachers and other believers who give you insight into the scriptures, all that's really good. But we're not supposed to be modeling ourselves after somebody else. We're not supposed to be trying to be a carbon copy of the Christian that we admire most. Now, there are a lot of things we all have in common in our relationship with Jesus. Because the truth is, if we want to grow in our Christian life, the only way that happens is by spending time in God's presence. And we do that as we worship him. And we do that as we read and study the scriptures. And we do that as we pray. And we do that as we follow where he leads us, as we invite him into our everyday. That's how we grow, and we all have that in common. But the reality of it is also that Jesus wants to have a unique individual relationship with each one of us. And then we come together and we form the church. And God gives us different gifts. And we need each other's gifts to not only be the body of Christ, but to love and serve one another and to love and serve the world around us. Paul talks about that when he talks about the church being like a body. He said, you know, how can the eye say to the ear, you know, I wish I was an ear. Where would the sense of sight be? We need one another. Each part in the body plays a part. And each one of us, as we gather to worship, you know, we gather to worship. We don't worship God just as individuals. We worship God as his body. And each one of us brings our gift and our own personal worship. And it adds up together and it encourages us and it blesses us. And it reveals God's presence to us. God gives us a glimpse of his glory as we individually, in relationship with him, come together to be the church. And so this very important reminder, we need to hear it again, is stop looking around at what's going on with everybody else. Why did that person get blessings I didn't get? Why did that person get gifts I didn't get? Oh, I wish I could be more like that. Jesus says, you follow me. You follow me. And that's what that's all about. We follow Jesus where he leads us, that we get to know him, that we lay down our lives for him, that we become living sacrifices. And we see that in this passage because Jesus asks Peter three times, do you love me? And every time Peter says, yes, I love you, Lord. Lord, you know all things. You know I love you. He says, feed my lambs. Tend my sheep. Feed my sheep. He gives Peter a way to serve him because that's what comes out of love. As we love Jesus, that love motivates us to do whatever it is that he's called us to. In Peter's case, to be a shepherd. Jesus makes a shepherd out of a fisherman. Take care of the ones in my flock. Love them. Care for them. Feed them. Tend them. You notice he doesn't say, first, if you do a whole lot of stuff, then I'll know you love me. Prove you love me. Jesus says, love me first. And then serve me out of your love. And again, I look at us sometimes trying so hard to do the things that we think we should do. Trying to be good Christians, or trying to do the right thing, or trying to stand firm, which are all good things in and of themselves, but not when they become our motivation. You know, we're trying to earn brownie points or somehow get God to notice us or to love us. Jesus says, no, love me. And then out of that love, serve me. Because if we're really loved by Jesus and we love him, it prompts us, it pushes us, it moves us to serve because we're changed. And that's this beautiful cycle that kind of happens. We love, why? Because God first loved us. God is the initiator of love. He loves us, and he loved us fully in Jesus Christ. And as we realize that love, we catch a glimpse of the way God loves us. It creates a new heart in us. It fills us with love back for him. And as we love him, as we experience his goodness, his forgiveness, his friendship, his restoration, his redemption, and it stirs in us this desire to love other people, this desire to serve Jesus by serving other people. And so, again, things that we know, but we need this reminder that our motivation needs to be love. When Jesus restores Peter, he doesn't say, Peter, do you promise you're going to stand firm? Peter, do you promise you're not going to bend? Do you promise you're going to serve me faithfully? He doesn't ask Peter those questions. He says this, do you love me? Jesus' love saves Peter, and then Peter's love back for Jesus brings him into this relationship, and then out of this relationship, we see God do amazing things with Peter's life. Peter's not unique. We've already said he's a lot like us. And so God invites each one of us to experience his love. Not some mushy emotional feeling. We're not talking about that. Debbie's teaching a Sunday school class right now called Experiencing God. Getting beyond the head knowledge and seeing God in our everyday lives. Learning to hear his voice. Learning to follow him. Just like Jesus invites Peter to that life, love me, follow me, he invites us into that same life. That's the life that he promises, that's abundant, that's full, that's a life of blessing. It doesn't mean it's perfect. He already said to Peter, look, it's going to end rough for you. The end is going to be rough. So if we ever want to stand firm on the health, wealth, and prosperity gospel, it just got shot down. Following Jesus brought Peter probably crucifixion, but definitely death. All of the apostles except John were martyred for their faith. And yet it was a death they went to willingly because they couldn't stop talking about Jesus. They couldn't stop serving Jesus. They couldn't stop following Jesus because they had tasted his love and they had loved him back. And they knew that they'd rather die than live without him. Life, and life to the full, Jesus says, that's what I've come to offer you. To redeem you, to restore you, so that we are guaranteed that we do not have to be defined by our worst moment. Maybe Peter had worse moments in his life, I can't imagine that he had one worse than saying, I don't know him, and then seeing Jesus as the cock crowed. Peter's not defined by that moment. We don't think of Peter as a betrayer, as a denier, because we see what God's love and restoration did for him. God says that to you. You do not have to be defined by your very worst moment. God gives us a chance to come and be washed clean, to come and be filled with his love, that we would love him back. And then out of that love, he would give us opportunity to serve him. It's the gospel in action. And I don't think there's anything more beautiful. Will you pray with me? Lord Jesus, we are so grateful that you did not leave us on our own. We are so grateful that when we are in you, Jesus Christ, we are a new creation and the old is past. So right now, tonight, we just want to take a minute and we want to think about the broken parts of our lives that we hold on to. We want to think for a minute about the failures that we use to define ourselves. And we want to lay them down before you. God, we want to ask you to cover them with your blood, to cover us with your love. Jesus, we want to say we love you. We love you. We love you. We want to experience your grace in all these broken places of our lives. God, could you for just a minute flood us with a sense of your love? Could you just for a minute in the quiet give us a glimpse of the ocean of your love, of how deep it is? And could you let it just splash over us, that we would feel and know and believe, God, we are loved by you. Thank you, Lord, for that love. And God, we want to answer your call. You call each one of us to serve you in a different way. So speak to our hearts, God, as we say, I love you. And show us in new ways how we can serve you, how we can love you in what you call us to do. Most of all, God, we just pray that you would help us to follow you, not just for a little bit, but all the way into eternity, that our eyes would be fixed on you, not worrying about the people around us and their gifts or their relationship with you, but just to focus on what it is that you have for us. And then we can join together as your body, not jealous, not envious, not competing, but each one of us in the place that you've called us, so that together we might proclaim your glory. Together we might bring light into the darkness. Together we might preach the gospel of Jesus Christ with our words, with our actions, by the way we love one another. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.